You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Action Network Podcast, named Best Betting Podcast or Radio Show by the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association, and the number one show for the invested sports fan.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
Four!
You got real talent. Don't concentrate on golf.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Action Network Podcast, presented by BetMGM, the Golf Edition. I'm Jason Sobel from Golf Bet. He is Peter Jennings from Fantasy Labs. And as always, we're going to break down this week's event, the Sony Open. We're going to get to our five under, our five questions in 5 minutes. We're going to do our ultimate DFS lineup. We're going to go through the entire field at the Sony Open at YLI. But first, hello, Peter. How are you doing? How was the weekend? And how about that Harris English finally getting off the schneid, his first win in years, which is ironically at the Tournament of Champions, where usually he wouldn't be included if he hadn't won before that.
Yeah, you kind of talked about how that could happen this week, and it came to fruition. So happy for Harris. You know, he's been playing exceptional golf, especially the 2020 season. And then this week, I mean, he was the best ball striker in the field, drove the ball unbelievable. And kudos to him. He could have won it in regulation, making that eagle putt on 18. Also had a lip out, I believe, on 16 or 17. So kudos to him. Joachim Niemann played an unbelievable final round. Some really great drama. That course sets up amazing for finishes just with the par fives and the 18th hole, the opportunities there. So, yeah, doing well. Excited for another golf tournament. This time we have a bigger field, and I see more value in the golf markets. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great. Yeah, you and I always get fired up for the bigger fields where we can go a little deeper, find some nuggets down the board just a little bit. Yeah, I mentioned on Twitter on Sunday night that for the most part, most events go into a playoff and they go back to the 18th hole. It's easier. The cameras are right there. The accessibility when there are fans on the golf course, the fans are usually not too far away. It's not like you got to tell the fans, hey, go over to four and you've got to, you know, walk 2 miles to get to the playoff. And so it's just easier. That said, not all courses lend themselves to the 18th hole being the best playoff hole there would be. Kapalua, the 18th hole is absolutely a fantastic playoff hole. And we saw exactly what it can do. It's a risk reward hole. Joachim Niemann pulled his second shot, was only able to make par from the left side of that rough alongside the green. And then Harris English, who had hit a tremendous second shot on that final hole in regulation, wasn't able to convert his eagle, but he was able to make birdie there at the end of regulation, get into a playoff, make birdie in the playoff. And like you said, great ball striking week for Harris English. We can get into it at some point what the ceiling is now for Harris English. I mean, are we now looking at him as a guy that can contend for a major championship, can make the U.S. Ryder Cup team? I mean, I think there's a lot on the table moving forward for Harris English now that he's sort of jumped into this elite status inside the top 20 or so in the world. But let's get right to this week, Sony Open. And we've got 29 as of the time we are recording this. Patrick Reed and Victor Hovland were early withdrawals from the field, but we've still got 29 of the 42 players who competed last week at the Century Tournament of Champions who are making that 28-minute flight over to Oahu to play at YLI this week, a completely different course. I mean, you couldn't find two more different courses. That said, I've always thought there's a major advantage for a few different reasons. First of all, the guys who played last week have four rounds under their belt. They have some competitive juices flowing. They're not coming off a long winter break in the holidays and everything like that. And secondly, their body clocks are used to being on Hawaiian time right now. They've already been over in the Aloha State They've gotten used to it. Hey, look, if you want a Mai Tai or two, you want to relax on the beach. Okay. They've kind of been there, done that, and they don't have to do it when they get over to the Sony this week because they've sort of had a week over there already. So I guess right off the bat, do you look at those guys and, oh, by the way, they're usually better players who are coming over from Kapalua as well. Do you look at those guys and believe that they've got an edge this week, even though the course is such a different golf course from Kapalua?
Oh, I absolutely have an edge. It's proven in data. The guys who've played more recently, especially competitive rounds, have an advantage. And, you know, in this particular case, I do think the Hawaiian thing matters a ton. And even with travel, we've seen, you know, a variety of things on, like, you know, players having to go out to Europe. That can be a disadvantage if they played the week before in the States. You know, there's a variety of things that you can look into with travel, and you can certainly find and make some conclusions based on data. And I think, you know, with Hawaii, it definitely applies. I mean, obviously we're looking at the best players, and it's a weird time of the season, but I'm giving it a big bump. And I think certainly there's some value on guys that played last week. And I actually, you know, Harris English already moved in the market. I thought there's some value on him. But now that he's, you know, 13-1, that's kind of where I think he should be priced. So we'll talk about those guys, but I absolutely think there's value in taking guys who played the previous week. They get a bump.
It's been done before. Justin Thomas, I believe, just a few years ago, was able to do the back-to-back Aloha Swing, winning both of the Hawaii events. So certainly possible for Harris English to do it. You know, Cameron Smith was the outlier. He was the first player in 7 years last year to win the Sony Open without having played at the Plantation course the week before. So, yeah, certainly something to that. And we start looking at some of these players. I mean, we'll get right into the sort of top tier here. And Webb Simpson at the top of the list is one of the few players that's coming over that I really don't like that much, whether it's in the betting markets. I just think that that price is too low for Webb Simpson right now, whether it's a DFS. I'd rather get a bunch of good players than one really expensive player at the top there. Coming off COVID, said he still had some symptoms last week, even though he had tested negative. So I'm going to probably fade Webb Simpson in most, if not all, formats this week. But just a little bit further down that list, Colin Morikawa, love him. Sungjae Im, love him. And Abraham Answer, my pick to win this week, my favorite outright this week, Abraham Answer. It's got to happen at some point, Pete. It's got to happen. Abraham Answer is going to win a PGA Tour event. We're not going to have to wait that much longer. And why not this week? This week seems as good as any. And we've talked about predictive stats in the past. The one stat, or one of the stats that I really like looking at, is final round ball striking numbers for a guy who's playing in back-to-back weeks. And you look at what Abraham Answer did on Sunday. He was second in the field in strokes gained tee to green, first in the field in strokes gained on approach shots. I think that should be very predictive for what we can expect for him this week.
Yeah, I certainly think he's really interesting. And, you know, this course should set up well for him. And you and I both like that. And the most recent form we have is on Sunday. So I'll take that. And he checks all the boxes. So I think that's a really good call. Agree with you on Morikawa. You know, I think he should be probably, I actually have English ahead. I think if my order would be Webb, English, and then probably Morikawa, and then Berger and M kind of in that same range. So I really like what I saw from Morikawa last week. You know, his iron game was dialed. He hit the flag on a shot. So I'm interested in him, and I think this course sets up well. Yeah, Abraham Answer is certainly there. Another guy who's kind of moving in towards that tier who played amazing all week and just didn't have his best stuff, made a double bogey on a par three after a really bad pull, is Ryan Palmer, who I actually think is a pretty interesting pick. He's already moving in the betting market. So, yeah, there's actually a lot of really good names at the top, given a lot of the guys that played last week wanted to stay in Hawaii.
Yeah, I can see that. I know a lot of people like Kevin Kisner as well. Kevin Kisner really not made for last week's golf course. He's made for a Wailea type golf course. And traditionally he plays well on these tighter tracks with smaller greens. So he's another guy. We sort of glossed over Sungjae Im there. I said that I liked him. You said that you liked him, but we didn't really kind of talk about him. Really good ball striking numbers. I think there's a certain correlation to PGA National. I get that it's 6,000 miles away or whatever it is in South Florida, but Sungjae won at PGA National last year. It's a tighter track where the wind is going to blow. You've got to work your ball both ways. It's a ball strikers golf course. I think there's a definitive correlation between that one and Wild Eye, this week's host, where you basically got to do the same thing. I mean, the winds are a little unpredictable. Some days it might be laying down. Other days it could be blowing 20 to 25 out there. That said, if we do see some wind this week, Sungjae's dealt with it before. He's had success with it before. You know, we kind of, like I said, glossed over him, both said, okay, yeah, like Sungjae. I really like Sungjae this week. I mean, is there a reason not to?
No. I mean, I think he's a really good pick. Depending on your price, I mean, he's under 20 to 1 would be my only concern. But there's certainly markets that I like him. And yeah, I think, like I mentioned, I think it's Webb, then I think it's Harris, and then I think it's Morikawa, and then probably Sungjae and Berger. So just all relative to the price line shop for these for sure. You know, I think Harris is the guy out of that group that just, if we want to go back, I mean, his driving was outrageously good last week. And that's what's really important this week, is just finding fairways. So we're going to kind of go down the list. You know, someone like Brendan Todd, I think, makes a ton of sense this week. He's actually one of the top values, I think. You know, you can look to someone like Brian Harman, who drives the ball well. Ryan Palmer drove it well. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys. And then, you know what, who we haven't mentioned, who's certainly elite, who you're always beating the drum for, that I'm surprised we haven't brought up, is Joaquin Niemann, who I thought it was a little weird that it took him so long to go hit balls. You know, he's just sitting there with Sergio chatting it up. I mean, I guess part of it was the announcers were talking about how weird it was, but – well, what are your thoughts on that? How soon would you have your guy practicing, knowing that there's a playoff coming?
Depends on the player. Depends what he feels comfortable with. I saw something on social media as the broadcasters were maybe not criticizing him, but at least pointing it out while he was sitting there just eating some chips and having a sandwich and kind of hanging out. The kid's 22 years old, and it's not, you know, if that's Tiger Woods, who is in the lead and potentially going into a playoff and has a bulky back and is 45 and needs a little time to warm up. All right, get Tiger over to the range and get him hitting some balls. When it's Joaquin Niemann, who basically goes parallel to the ground, however his back moves that way, which is ridiculous with that swing. I just don't see a problem with it. I mean, he hit a bad shot in the playoff. It wasn't a terrible shot. It actually worked out okay. And then he just couldn't get up and down from there. But
he had an amazing drive. I mean, he piped his. I was rooting for English. So the only bet that I really won last week was I thought there was some value in English going into the final round. So I was sweating English. And, you know, Niemann put it by. I mean, obviously, just the bounce you get on 18 is so critical to how far it actually goes when you're set up. But hit a great drive. And what a round he played. I mean, he can get so hot with the putter. So I know you've been bullish on him. I thought that was a great showing.
Speaking of value on Harris English, is it getting close to the point where, and I get it, like the first round leader bets this week, I mean, he is second on the board. It's in one of the books I saw he was actually tied for first round leader. His Thursday scoring average, I believe in his last 12 events, is 68.25. He was tied for the first round lead with Justin Thomas last week. Is it getting to the point where you might as well, even if you're going to hedge, you might as well throw a few bucks on Harris English on Thursday just because he plays so well right out of the gate? And I've got to think that this week, at a place where he's got a handful of top 10 finishes in the past, having that kind of monkey off his back a little bit, being able to just kind of play free and loose and not have to worry about anything, whatever happens, they're not going to take away his trophy from last week. What do you think about Harris English as a first-round leader bet on Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm bullish on Harris, so I don't hate it. In general, you know, someone like English, I was always about the favorites, and you know, first round leader bets, it's hard to find value most of the time. English's biggest advantage versus the field is playing more rounds, so that's my kind of challenge with it. But I certainly see your you know, I get where you're going, and English is playing out of his mind right now, and I think. Talk about a place where it's probably easy to transition and just still feel good. Like Hawaii, you're just relaxed. Like he just played well. Didn't seem like much bothered him. Just kind of the way he's going about his business. Like he just seems, you know, stress-free. And it makes a lot of sense when you're in the middle of the fairway, as much as Harris English has been. His driving has really impressed me. And that's why he's become such a good player. I mean, he's really figured out how to be a very consistent ball striker, which, you know, that's golf, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And usually first round leader bets, I'm the guy that's digging through the weeds looking for a guy who's 150 to one on a Thursday that, hey, can just go out there and play as well as anybody for 18 holes before he drops off. But I just think that Harris has played so well on a Thursday that if you're playing a couple of those triple digit numbers on Thursday for the first round leader bets, you might as well just cover yourself and take Harris there as well. So let's get to the mid tier. I'm going to throw out a few names in this mid tier, just kind of going down the list. Russell Henley is a guy who's won here in the past. The rest of his record isn't great, but obviously he's played really well over the past 6 months or so. He's a guy that I usually like and like even more this week. Emiliano Grillo, if that putter ever gets even just tepid, he'll be okay. It doesn't have to get hot, just tepid. He'll be all right. Mark Leishman is a guy who's picking up a lot of steam in the marketplace this week, I believe. Sebastian Munoz, another guy who's coming over from last week. Taylor Gooch is a guy that I like on ball strikers, types of golf courses. Anybody in that range, Matthew Neesmith, I'll go down to. I'm a big Matthew Neesmith guy. When he gets going with those irons, he's a plus iron player out there. So any of those names strike you as a guy that you like or anybody else in that range?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of names that are really interesting there. You know, I'm looking – one guy who's sneaky been accurate lately is Rory Sabatini. He's the one that I'm interested in. I mentioned Todd earlier. Kisner, I think, is interesting, although the market's starting to move on him a little bit. And the Griot call, I mean, my goodness, can he just putt better this year? I really feel for him because you can see the anxiety that he has. And he hits the ball so good. And he gets the greens. I don't think he's like a horrendous putter. It's just got to be – obviously, on the stats bear out that he's a horrible putter on the PGA Tour. But the PGA Tour players, a lot of these guys are just because they're better putters. I mean, you know this as well. You played with really good amateurs, guys who are on other tours, guys who compete to stay on the tour. Like, a lot of just being competitive against the best players in the world is putting well. And Griot, just to me, when I watch him, he does have some bad shorter misses. But a lot of his putts are like grave, you know, kind of he's missing on the high side like a pro would. And he just doesn't get enough putts to quite fall. And you can just see the frustration just boiling in him. Like, he makes fun of himself all the time. It's like,
I pick him and I have the same frustration. Peter, do you know that 5 years ago, Emiliano Grillo was ranked 23rd in the world at one point?
Yeah.
And he is currently 159th. He's going the complete opposite of what you're supposed to be going as a young player. I mean, you know, we've seen it before. It's not like there's anything new, but, you know, we've seen Jordan Spieth and Brendan Todd and guys lose their games a little bit. But the weird thing with Grillo is he hasn't lost his game. He's ball striking it better than he had 5 years ago when he was 23rd in the world, and he just can't get anything in the hole.
So frustrating, I'm sure. But, yeah, I really like him. And then I want to hear your thoughts on some of the late guys. You know who I show value on right now? I'm really excited about it's our boy Steely.
Brendan Steele.
I just want to be able to hit the ball higher, a little bit farther.
Steele with a rip off the 12th. Hard to beat. Wow, that was just jammed in.
It's the man of steel.
How good was that? Wow.
Yes, sir.
I show a good bit of value on Steely. You can get Steely in some markets like 200 plus to one, 225. I see a 230 out there. I mean, that's something I'm very interested in.
So I've got a little insight. I believe he was talked into playing, and he played here for the first time last year. Coulda, woulda, shoulda won on 18 in regulation. Coulda, woulda, shoulda won in the playoff against Cameron Smith, who he plays a decent amount of practice rounds with, but lost in that one, disappointing one for Brendan Steele. But that said, he had never played that event before. And so, you know, I tried saying to him afterwards, and, you know, he's been more down about losing other events than he was last year. I said, look, you could have just stayed at home, started on the West Coast in California, and not gotten the $500,000 and the X amount of ranking points and the experience of being in the hunt and all the good things that come with at least getting into a playoff. So that was a good experience for him. I believe he told me last year that Keegan Bradley, his buddy, had talked him into playing, said, look, this is a good course for you. You're actually going to like it. And so it turned out he really did like it. He's got his coach, Chris Mason, on the bag again this week, and he's got a very good record when Chris Mason is on the bag. Something about, even though the fact that he's got Christian Donald on the bag full-time, who's a terrific caddy, one of the best out there, when Mason is on the bag, I don't know if it's more of a focus. I don't know if it's, hey, he's getting a little swing tip from his coach while he's caddying for him, but he plays very well. Mason was on the bag for this event last year as well. And I think that could bode well for him. So yes, at especially, I mean, you're looking at top 10s, top 20s, but 7,100 on DraftKings, Peter.
Yeah, it's a fire. Great price. And dude, fire. So you got to work harder. I mean, his coach has got to figure it out. I mean, of course you want to be the caddy and go down to Hawaii. I mean, that's seems like the pro move. I mean, you also in the caddy mix, I'm going to go on the limb and say you're not as good of a caddy as those guys, but maybe ask Brendan to do the Hawaiian tour at some point in your life.
We just talked about it recently. In fact, this is how the conversation was sparked that he's got Mason on the bag. And I said, look, I would love to go out to Hawaii with you. I know I didn't get the invitation yet. I would love to be there. I'd love to be on the bag. But quite frankly, I've got a career 68.0 scoring average as a caddy on the PGA Tour, and I'm not sure that I want to put that on the line. It's one of the best ever.
It is.
One round, 68.0. It doesn't matter. It's only one round. It's in the books. Steve Williams does not have a 68.0 scoring average lifetime caddying on the PGA Tour. Bones does not have 68.0. You show me how many other people in the world have a 68.0 scoring average caddying on the PGA Tour. And so I'd love to be out there for him. I just don't want to risk that number. I mean, I think we could throw up a couple 64s, 65s. I think I could probably lower it a little bit, but again, risking a lot for me to go out there. I got through all that with a straight face, Pete.
No, it's great. I mean, like you said, can't risk the 68. I hear you. What a life though down in Hawaii. One last guy I'll throw out, and I definitely want to build a deal. Or I have my five questions for you, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I got a couple other guys late, too.
Yeah, my favorite – there's a couple guys that are normal in this range. I think JT Poston's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in Brian Stewart as well.
Okay. I don't mind either of those. I'm going to throw a couple names out at you. Just because we're talking about players from last week, Michael Thompson is a guy that
last week he might have done something.
What's up?
I like him and JT Poston. Like basically, I think those guys are very similar. And
two others for you, and one sort of a you know off the cuff long shot. But Henrik Norlander has played well in the past. T9 at this event last year. He missed the cut in his last three events last year, but with that winter break and you know so much time in between, it doesn't bother me as much as if he was coming in with you know straight off that last week. So Norlander's a guy I like, and then the former world number one amateur who just won on the Japan tour about 2 months ago, a month after turning pro, Takumi Kanaya. The kid is, I believe, 22 years old, 21, 22 years old. He's 5'8", 165. This is not Bryson. This is not DJ going out there being able to hammer it around big ballparks. But at Wailea, where you got to keep it in play, and it's all about ball striking, he's a tremendous ball striker by all accounts. Takumi Kanaya. Look, I wouldn't mortgage the house on him going out there winning this golf tournament outright, but top 20s, DFS play, top 30s, I kind of like that play this week.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's someone I don't know much about, and I think that's a really sharp call just in terms of you know the background, and this is the right course, like you mentioned. I really think there's advantage to these just like fairway finder guys, and that's what I'm – waiting, and it's certainly shown up year after year. And even you know some other guys that we didn't mention kind of near the top, like you have to look you know Brendan Todd, like I mentioned, Kisner, we talked about Palmer, Harmon, basically everyone that's popping. Russell Henley started to pop a little bit. They're more of these accuracy type players, so anyone who has that comp I think is interesting. On the flip side, when we get to our DFS lineup, I think everyone knows the accuracy guys are good, so can you go the other direction with the long bombers for lower ownership.
What was disappointing? I looked at it this week and I went and looked at the entry list after it was finalized on last Friday afternoon. And a few of my go-to guys, the guys that I really like when it's a tight ball strikers kind of golf course. Where's Doc Redman?
Doc Redman.
Not here this week. Where's Dylan Fratelli? Not here this week. I mean, there are a few guys I had earmarked that I said, man, I could really see that guy going out to Hawaii and winning this golf tournament. And they're not playing it. There were a whole bunch of guys that I looked at and said, hey, this is a guy who, you know, based on his numbers, based on his stats, based on his style of play, could play really well at Wailea, go check against the entry list, and nope, they're not there. So I guess they can't win it.
Doc Redmond, this is a perfect course. I don't know why. He's got to get out here in the future, hopefully.
I don't know how Doc Redmond is going to win 40 events this year if he doesn't even play the first one.
Yeah, come on, Doc, get out.
I mean, I'm setting the bar a little high, but not that much.
Perfect. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, you know, this is the first, like, big event where I'm excited to be betting a bunch of stuff, and DFS should be great. Last week was fun. Course is beautiful, but these pool fields, there's way more edge.
Hope you're enjoying this great Action Network podcast. I want to make sure you know about the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On has a daily podcast on your favorite team.
Welcome to you, Locked On 49ers.
You are locked on to the Dallas Mavericks.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Let's go!
Locked On podcasts are hosted by the local experts who know your team better than anyone and give you the inside scoop. So go to your podcast app and search Locked On, your favorite team. Subscribe to your Locked On podcast.
Yeah, I can't wait. We're going to get to our DFS lineup in just a minute, but we've got to get to five under, five questions in 5 minutes. And this week it is your turn to ask me the questions, which means that I didn't have to prepare at all, so I can just sit here and answer. Can't wait. Let's get to it.
5 minutes, five questions you never asked.
I got to be honest with you. I get a little irritated when somebody calls me away from my golf.
This is 5 Under with Jason Sobel and Peter Jennings.
Hawaiian and vacation themes. First off, what is your favorite Hawaiian island?
It's Maui. Been to Kauai. Kauai's cool. I just know Maui better. I've been to Kapalua probably 6 or 7 times, mostly to cover the event, maybe once or twice outside of covering the event. But I like the laid backness of Kauai and the Big Island. I like the sort of hustle and bustle, if you will, of Honolulu and being in kind of a city. But Maui's kind of a little combination of the two. There's some life there, and yet it's nice and laid back. So I'll take Maui every time.
Yeah, Maui is my second favorite. I love Maui. But I'm a big sucker for Kauai. I think it's just absolutely stunning. What's your favorite non-golf activity? Like if Jason Sobel's in the islands, you know, you just at the pool sitting Mai Tais, you doing a crazy hike.
Sort of depends who I'm there. Like if it's me and the wife, it's probably a lot of just like relaxing. When I go on vacation, I want to relax. Like people go on vacation to like for the next 14 hours, I can run around and go do stuff. I mean, I like to be active, but I mean, vacation for me is about, you know, laying down, like not even sitting down, but laying in a laying position. So reclining as much as possible. So there's probably not a whole lot going on, quite honestly. There's a lot of food being eaten.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I, for one, am totally with you. I want to relax. I hate having a bunch of plans outside of maybe some tea times. I just want to be able to do what I want, sleep in. If you want to take a nap, great. If you want to lay down, have some drinks.
This time of year, when you're in Hawaii and there are football playoff games or NFL playoff games, it's crazy to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning by the pool in Hawaii. It's early morning. I'm eating breakfast. There's football on TV. It's snowing on the TV. What a weird deal, but it's so cool.
All right, the favorite Hawaiian meal or drink? I love the pineapple. Mai Tai's a chalk answer. Do you have any specific favorite meal or drink?
Yeah, I'm going chalk. It's Mai Tai. My wife and I went on our honeymoon, and, you know, you get it, all the hustle and bustle from the honeymoon. You know, you're married, and then, you know, the party afterwards, and then the next day is packing, and then, like, okay, get on a plane, and we're on a plane all day with a connection. Finally, we get out to Hawaii, and we'd arrived at the hotel. I think we were in Kauai to start. And we were just telling the story to our kids the other day. But we had arrived and, it was 6 o'clock, happy hour. There's a guy playing guitar in the hotel bar outside. It was like the perfect relaxation to start the honeymoon. And we only had like a drink or two. I mean, it wasn't like we were, you know, going crazy. But we had like 2 drinks, dead tired, took a walk on the beach, found a hammock. Laid down on a hammock, woke up 3 hours later. It's pitch black. We have no idea where we are and had to sort of just like feel our way back to the hotel that we'd barely seen. I mean, we threw some bags in the room and barely even knew where we were. So, but yeah, that might have been Mai Tai infused just a little bit.
Oh, dude, I want to just talk about it. I want a Mai Tai right now.
How come people don't drink Mai Tai? Like you don't go to like the bar at your club and be like, hey, can I get a Mai Tai?
Sounds amazing right now.
Right?
Oh, I just want to get to Hawaii. All right. A golf question about Hawaii. And I assume I know the answer, but there are a ton of really good golf courses. What's your favorite golf course on any of the islands?
Quite honestly, I mean, it's Kapalua's plantation course is the easy answer. Kanapali is really cool out there. I played this one gosh, I'm not even sure it's still there. And I couldn't, it was a Hawaiian name, obviously. And it's on Oahu. And I think it's where like they filmed Jurassic Park. I played this golf course where we played early in the morning after a long night covering the during the Sony one year. And me and a buddy wake up early. And basically the way this golf course, the way I remember it, they told us it was the second hardest golf course in the world. And we showed up at the pro shop and we were not prepared to handle the second hardest golf course that day. But it was like hit 5 iron off the tee, then hit 3 wood to another spot, then hit 8 iron to the green. And if any one of those shots wasn't absolutely perfect, you're dead. Like your ball's gone. Oh, I mean, it was just, it was such a hard golf course, but it was really cool. I mean, it looked like you were in Jurassic Park.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. And that's, I love Jurassic Park, love Kauai, because that, my answer is a Kauai golf course, Makai. It's got all the cliffs and very Pebble Beach-esque.
Throw Kolina on there as well. Kolina is very cool.
Yeah, Kolina is very, very cool. There's a bunch of really just amazing courses in the islands.
You can't go wrong over there. I played like Muni courses in Hawaii where it's like, man, this place is awesome. I mean, just you're in Hawaii. How bad could it be?
Of course. Well, Hawaii is one of my favorite vacation spots. Obviously, you love it. You've talked about the course. Give me what's your favorite vacation of your lifetime, Jason?
When you travel a lot for work, people listening who travel a lot for work, you know that the last thing you want to do when you have time off is, hey, let's go get on a plane and travel somewhere. So quite honestly, my favorite vacations are probably those where I stayed at home and did absolutely nothing because I didn't have to get on a plane. But do you have one that was like way better than everything else?
My best friend got married and we went to Napa. It was my wife and I's first time in Napa and we just had just so much fun. That was probably my favorite, but tons of good vacations. And that was a fun 5 questions. I'm excited for a DraftKings team, which I think it's interesting this week. There's a lot of directions you can go. Yeah, I will definitely defer to you in terms of how you want to make this, because I do think you could spend. I mean, there's balanced teams that certainly look good. So you can lead us off.
Want to be a DFS millionaire? You're just one lineup away.
We're going to go nose to nose with him, and you're going to play better than you ever dreamed of, because goddammit, that's what I demand of you.
So let's get drafting.
So I've made a few teams already, and I sort of like the kind of 2 studs with 4, not necessarily super cheap guys, but 4 kind of lower guys. So, you know, that's just sort of the way the first few lineups that I've made have come out. You know, obviously you can play around with this stuff. Even though I've got Abraham Ancer as my favorite play this week, my favorite outright, I'm going to pivot just a little bit and take Sungjae Im to start at 9,800. I just think that high ceiling, high floor this week. I don't think you're going to get burned by him. And I think that his best is potentially better than anybody else in the field. So I really like Sungjae this week.
Can't go wrong with Sungjae. Just such a pure ball striker. And that's a good price. Like I mentioned, I think he should be 4th or 5th. And I believe he's like the 7th or 8th priced golfer. So some strong value there. I like that pick a lot. One guy that I just think is underpriced in every aspect is Brendan Todd. And you look at what Brendan Todd did last year. I mean, the guy is just the epitome of a fairway finder. And, you know, he finished, I believe, 13th last week. I'm going to give him a nice little bump for that, too. And I just think this is a perfect course for him.
You can probably put together a whole team of Georgia Bulldogs and even leave some off that team. You know, going Todd, Kisner, English, Harmon, Henley, right off the top of my head. Throw a Sepp Straka in there. That might be it. That might be your 6-man Georgia team right there.
There's your winner right there, yeah.
In fact, I might just do that when we get off the pod. All right, I'm going to go a little deeper. Get a cheap guy on there. I mentioned his name before, but Matthew Neesmith is a guy that I think is not on a whole lot of radars. He should be a bit lower owned this week. And I think you've got to differentiate a little bit from the guys that everyone else is looking at. So Matthew Neesmith is a guy that he tends to make cuts, which you're looking at from a lower price guy. And he makes birdies in bunches. He's 17th on the PGA Tour in birdie average so far this season. Looking at his last 3 starts, 17th or better in – or last 4 starts, 17th or better in 3 of those. So really like Neesmith this week, especially Bermuda greens again.
Perfect. Love it. Well, I'm going to save us some money and get in before you take him. Our guy,
You can't not take Steely here. I mean, 7,100. He's on the podcast in spirit with us. We're taking him.
Statistically speaking, he's a remarkably average tour player, but it's the Steely demeanor and resolve that have laid the foundation for his achievements.
Obviously love it. By the way, I was mentioning Takumi Kanaya before, who, hey, I like it, you know, throw a dart, not a bit. The fact that DraftKings has him priced the same as Brendan Steele, yeah, as Brandon Grace, as CT Pan. Look, I like the kid. You know, I think he's going to be a good player. I think he can play well this week, but you've got some like serious professional golfers that he's dealing with at the exact same price point. So yes, Steele absolutely over him at 7,100. We've got four of six positions filled, one more each for both of us, 8,750 per man left to spend. That's where I want to go. I want to spend some money. I tell you what, we've got guys, and I think they're both going to be highly owned, but a couple of those Georgia Bulldogs at 8,800 and 8,700 that we could easily plug in and leave nothing on the table. You want to do Kisner Henley, or you want me to go somewhere else?
I'm fine with Kisner Henley, or we could finish that. Why don't we give our listeners a couple options? Kisner Henley, okay, that's nice.
So Kisner Henley, I think, is your chalkier option right there, and I have absolutely no problem with it. I think you're going to want to differentiate a bit more at the bottom of the lineup, and I think we have with Neesmith and maybe with Steely as well. But Abraham Answer, I mean, I mentioned him off the top, and I didn't take him instead of him, but I will take him right here at 9,400, which leaves a nice 8,100 right there. And there is a guy whose name we have not mentioned, who's never won this golf tournament and is the all-time leading money winner of this event, which I don't think that's happened at many, if any, other events on the PGA Tour schedule.
Yeah, Charles Howell, for what it's worth, also historically has played really well in the beginning part of the year. And it makes sense. My theory on Howell and why he's played so well in these wine events relative to the field is that he's just such a grinder that, you know, his game stays sharp into the season. He falls off relative to his, you know, expectation more so as the season goes on. But he's someone who historically has been extremely sharp in the beginning of the year and has done well in the West Coast swing. So that's just a theory. I just, you know, if you took all the golfers out there and said who plays the most during the offseason, my sense is Howell would be near the top of that list.
Charles Howell, in 19 starts at the Sony Open, has made the cut 19 times, has 13 top 25s, 10 top 10s, two third-place finishes, and two runner-up finishes. I still contend. I know he's got three wins. I know a lot of people look at him as sort of the poster child for golfers make too much money, even though they don't win golf tournaments all the time. That said, I will maintain that Charles Howell is 15 burnt edges on Sunday afternoons away from being a potential Hall of Fame candidate and being one of the, if not best golfers of all time, at least one of the better golfers of all time. And it's just sometimes your career just has a whole lot of bad luck. You can't really say that Charles Howell coulda, woulda, shoulda won fewer than three events in his PGA Tour career. You can absolutely say that it could be double, triple, quadruple that number.
Yeah, I really like him. I'm tempted to throw him on, but we could leave some money. And also just real quick, from a betting perspective, I show him as a slight negative value in the outright markets, but actually show value on him as a top 20 and top 10 pick on MGM, where ties get paid out in full. And that track record's really good. And I don't think, you know, the betting market will probably move on Howell because that's a statistic that some people will see. But early on, if you're able to catch it, I do think there's some value there. Emiliano Grillo, we talked about. I certainly don't mind that pick. But a guy that I definitely like is Brian Harman this week. And I'll leave 300 on the table. I just think he really played some great golf. He had a really nice stretch last year to kind of close out the season. It's basically top 40 in every event except the RSM Classic, where he missed the cut. But basically every other time he was right there, including some higher finishes too, but just grinding out top 40s. It's like eight or nine events where he's T40 or better in every event.
By the way, I'm just trying to fill out that Georgia Bulldogs lineup as well as we're talking. And if you throw out English, Harman, Henley, Kisner, Todd, you've only got 5,700 left. You can't do it. You might be able to do it on FanDuel. You can't do it on DraftKings, though.
FanDuel, that's the move right there.
So, yeah, we need to find some we either need to take one of our Georgia guys out of our Georgia lineup or just switch this over to FanDuel instead of DraftKings. But it's a good thought anyway. And I think some of those Georgia guys are really good plays this week. And I love what you say about Howell. I mean, that's the epitome of Howell's career. Top 10, top 20 value, not as much win equity. I mean, we've basically summarized the last 23 years of his life in one sentence right there.
Mel, talk about a good life. I mean, he's made as much money as basically anyone on the PGA Tour, and playing golf for as a living. I know there can be some stress, and it's not as easy as maybe Charles Howell has made it look, given his stress-free game on a relative basis. But kudos to him. And, yeah, I show value on him as a top 20 bet this week. But
I love seeing it. Charles lives about 5 minutes away from me. I see him sometimes. Our kids used to play in the same soccer league. I would show up, and, you know, Charles is yelling at me as the coach on the other team, just trying to get me riled up, and he's laughing. He's such a good dude. I mean, there's very few guys, if any, who are as nice as Charles Howell, genuinely, on the PGA Tour. So always rooting for him, and always rooting for you guys out there to have a good week. Good luck with everything at the Sony Open. For my buddy Peter Jennings, I'm Jason Sobel. Here's hoping you guys hit the green.